Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this carol service from Oney Baptist Church. A warm welcome to you all, and whether you attend the church on a regular basis, or just a visitor, or even just the first time that you're listening online to us, you're very welcome indeed. This is a service of praise and worship and learning as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the Son of God. I'd just like to explain how the order of service will go this morning. We have six carols and we have five readings. And we will have one carol followed by a reading and then another carol followed by another reading and so on. That's how it will proceed. But there won't be any introductions to the readings or to the carols. And all the readings will reflect about the birth of Jesus and all that went on before and afterwards. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we come to you knowing that you are great in all of your ways. You are loving and forgiving and merciful. And your authority goes throughout this world. We are here as your children to praise you and to worship you and to worship Jesus, your Son. Bless us as we meet around your throne, and may the Holy Spirit draw us closer and teach us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And so we come to our first carol this morning. It's number 408 and it's O Come All Ye Faithful.
reading is called The Problem Emerges, and it's taken from Genesis 3, beginning from verse 1 through to verse 19. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return."
Thank you. second reading is entitled The Messiah's Birth Foretold and comes from the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 9, starting at verse 2 through to verse 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let us receive our King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Your sweetest songs employ, while fields and streams and fields and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, the wonders of His love, the wonders of His love, the wonders of His love.
The birth of Jesus, from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Joy to the world.
see him lying on a bed of straw, a trusty stable with an open door. Mary cradling the babe she bore, the Prince of Glory is his name. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem, to see the Lord appear to men. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Angels sing again the song you sang, bring God's glory to the heart of man. Sing that Bethlehem's little baby can be salvation to the soul. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem, to see the Lord appear to man. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Mine are riches from thy poverty, from thine innocent eternity. Mine forgiveness by thy death for me, child of sorrow for my joy. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem, to see the Lord appear to men. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came. Oh, now carry me to Bethlehem, to see the Lord appear to men. Just as poor as was the stable then, the Prince of Glory when he came.
A birth is announced. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for you and all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told.
Oh,
fifth reading is entitled Jesus, God's Message to Us, and it's taken from the book of John, chapter 1, reading from verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
And so we come to our third message of the Advent. For those of you who've been following the series, the first week we had the miracle of the moment, the second was the miracle of the message, and this week we're looking at the miracle of the method. The Christmas story as told in the Bible is a miracle story because a baby was born of a virgin and that baby was God's son. It was a supernatural event. This week we're thinking about the method God employed to bring about the birth of Jesus. Method, as you know, is a way of doing something. Now, God works in a very different way than we humans do. That's very important that we understand that and remember it. God reminds us of this in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. God says there, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We shouldn't be surprised when we don't understand the way in which God works, or the way he allows things to happen. God's method of working is very different, his wonders to perform. Think of examples from the Bible. Joseph, who was next to youngest of his brothers, hated by his older brothers, sold as a slave, imprisoned although not guilty, released from prison to become the prime minister of Egypt. And David, the youngest boy in his family, a shepherd boy, he became king of Israel. And in the New Testament, Jesus chose fishermen to be his disciples. Fishermen, you say? Surely not. What did they know about religion? What did they know about philosophy? they were not learned men, their knowledge did not extend beyond fishing. And yet, Jesus chose them. But just in those three examples alone, we see how God demonstrated his power to produce amazing and miraculous results. Because he is God, he reveals his greatness in different ways. When it was time for Jesus to be born, his parents came to Bethlehem, a small, unimportant town. Mary and Joseph were ordinary people. They were poor and, in worldly terms, unimportant. Jesus was born in a stable and placed in a manger. That's an animal feeding trough. If you were a young couple having your first child, is that what you would plan? I think not. Would you want any of your grandchildren born under these conditions? Of course not. When we think about the humble circumstances of Jesus' birth, it powerfully reflects his humility in life. Do you remember when he stood before Pilate, falsely accused, and when on the cross he bore all God placed upon him with humility? But God had planned it all from birth to cross. Another surprising and miraculous aspect of the birth of Jesus is an angel announced the news of the birth to shepherds. Why shepherds? They were not regarded as important. They were uneducated, probably not too clean either. They were simple and they were poor, yet God chose them. Again, it demonstrates that God in his love includes all stratas of society. This was wonderful news to these shepherds and an experience they would cherish all their lives. I hope you can see that God uses ordinary people and seemingly unimportant people in his great plans. The Apostle Paul wrote about God's method of working in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And he says this, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." So as in biblical times, God used ordinary people, so he uses ordinary people today. Believers like you and me, and who are his servants. He wants us to be available and obedient for his purposes. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary and explained God's plan to her, she replied, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Mary was willing. That is just the attitude and obedience Jesus expects from his followers. As we think about our own lives, they are not perfect. They won't be perfect until we get to heaven. We experience difficulties of health and hardship. We experience difficulties of pain and grief and disappointment. And this year has brought on a new set of challenges. The Bible at these times is good for our soul, for us to read. Our key scripture verse this week is Romans 11, verse 33. And it goes like this. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Although we cannot understand the depths of God's wisdom, or his knowledge, or his judgments, we do know that God loves us, and he is on our side. And we also know that God's ways are not our ways, but he is merciful and kind. There are no easy answers to our struggles and difficulties in life, but we have a sure foundation in Jesus. Another verse from the Bible is encouraging. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. If you love God, he works for your good. Thinking about the examples of Joseph, David, and the disciples, which I gave earlier, none of them had easy lives. None of them had easy lives. But what God calls us to do as his children, as his beloved ones, he calls us to hold on to him in faith, for he knows best. And so we come to our last carol this morning. It's 155. Hark, the herald angels sing.
Thank you.
now we come to our closing prayer. And we thank you for joining us this morning, and we do pray that God will bless you and meet your needs. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. May grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.